بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد وعن أنس رضي الله عنه قال كان غلام يهودي يخدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فمرض فأتاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعوده فقعد عند رأسه فقال له أسلم فنظر إلى أبيه وهو عنده فقال أطع أبا القاسم فأسلم فخرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويقول الحمد لله الذي أنقذه من النار رواه البخاري. This incident, we began the discussion already, just to terminate a few important points. As we mentioned in the introduction of this incident, that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was what we call sahib shariat, and his actions, one is his actions, his utterances constituting shariat, and over and above that, anything that happened in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he allowed to happen, did not admonish, did not in any way indicate any unpleasantness with it, that also would constitute or be a form of shariat and deen, and would be from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that there was a Jewish youngster who was in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from this, up till this point, we discussed, one is ulama extract the masla that it is permissible to have as your servant or in your employ someone who is kafir or is a disbeliever, even in this sense, in the sense or in the condition of Madinah Munawwara, particularly in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jews of Madinah were a very real threat to the Muslims. They left no stone unturned to cause harm to the Muslims and to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So technically your enemy and that qawm and that nation that constitutes a threat, them also, to have them as your servants or to employ them, technically ulama ikram say will be permissible. This is extracted from this hadith. However, bisharti an ya'mana min makrihi, with this condition that in this instance they will not be posing a threat, they will not harm you. This was a youngster, he was Jewish, and he was in the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Famarida, he became ill. فَأَتَاهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَعُودُهُ. So from this also, ulama ikram extract, just interestingly, ulama ikram, based on other ahadith, they mentioned that the name of this youngster was Abdul Quddus. Visiting Muslims, this is a right one Muslim has over another when they are sick. What happens when a non-Muslim becomes sick? In this instance, based on this incident, أَتَاهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَعُودُهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked, physically went to visit this youngster. So, visiting a non-Muslim also will be something that Islam not only allows, but encourages, particularly if one has to do it to implement the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what was his sunnah? One is, technically this person is a youngster, he's a child. Technically he was in the employ of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He became sick. Towards those that are in our employ, particularly, ulama ikram mentioned, they say the two, what we call acid tests, or the two thermometers by which the akhlaq and character of a Muslim is gauged. One is his conduct towards his wife in the home. That is a crunch test. How much of akhlaq and character has entered your life is how you deal with your wife. أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. Rasulullah SAW said the most kamil, most perfect culmination of a believer so far as his iman is concerned is the one with the best أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا, the most beautiful character. And where is the true beauty of character? خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ, said the best amongst you. In other words, the most kamil, akmal, most perfect, the one who has achieved the pinnacles of iman, is the one who treats his wife the best. So this is one area where the akhlaq is tested. Why? Because this is home, wife is behind the curtain of concealment. To fool people on the outside or to pretend to be a very good person, have good akhlaq character is easy. In your home, this is in solitude and privacy. Here, if you are doing it, you are doing it solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second group which constitutes a test for one's akhlaq and character is what we call subordinates. Those who are enjoy a lower social status than yourself, particularly those who are in your employ. Your servant. In this case, يَخْدُمٌ كَانَ خَادِمٌ. He was a servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when that servant is someone that is younger, it's an even greater test. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his age in Madinah Munawwara was 53 when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated. He made parda from the world 63. So his age would have been over 53. And this was a young child who was in the employ of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet that youngster becomes ill and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes walking to go and visit that youngster. Today if you look in our dealing, particularly with our staff, with those who are in our employ, unfortunately we feel many people have this mindset because this is what we call the ghaman, the pride, the arrogance of wealth entering, clouding a person's intellect and judgment to the point where somehow or the other he feels he's superior and he's allowed to do whatever he likes, say whatever he likes. And this is something that is very, very dangerous. Ulama mentioned, they say that particularly the attack that shaitan makes, not one is a person is far away from deen, no salah in his life, etc. He's in sharab, womanizing, whatever it may be. Shaitan obviously is going to make effort on that person. They say more dangerous than that is the effort that shaitan makes on the pious, those who are outwardly deendar, maybe going in tabligh, maybe in madrasa, maybe in khanka, wherever. There, this is the road through which shaitan makes effort upon him. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah used to say, أَشَدُّ الذُّنُوبُ الَّتِي يَسْتَخِفُهَا النَّاسِ. He used to say the worst type of sin, the most dangerous type of sin, أَلَّتِي يَسْتَخِفُهَا النَّاسِ, is that sin which unfortunately most people don't even consider to be a sin. Al-kalamu fi ma la yani is when you don't control your tongue, the utterances of the tongue. Laysa al-mu'min bit-ta'an wala bil-la'an wala bil-fahish wala bil-badi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is not a believer, he doesn't have true iman, who curses with his tongue, who is picking on the false, tarnishing the image of people, running people down, finding their faults, hurting their feelings. Walal fahish walal badi, someone who uses swear words, insulting words. He said, laysal mu'min, he is not from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the test for this is those who are in your employ or those who you are financially advantaged over them. Be very, very careful with that tabqa. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the akhlaq and the character of Islam, your maid servants in your house, the domestic servants, how do we treat them? By mistake, if they break one dish, or they do something that upsets you, spill something. We know what happens in the homes, unfortunately. The level of insults, the level where we not only insult that person, insult that person's family, swear that person's family, background, etc. Somebody is your garden boy, somebody is your driver, knocks the car by mistake, comes late for work. These are where we are constantly be tested. The akhlaq and character of Islam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went walking to this youngster and then he presented Islam to him. presented Islam to him, and the youngster accepted the invitation or the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not possible if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's conduct prior to this was not such that he dealt with this youngster with love, with affection, with kindness, with compassion. Then only someone is going to be receptive to your da'wah. No one is going to be receptive to your da'wah if on the one hand you are insulting, overbearing, taking the person to task, and now you say accept Islam. Nobody is going to even listen to that. It is how your conduct and your dealing and your mannerism is towards that person. So coming back to this, فَأَتَاهُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَعُودُهُ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit this Jewish youngster. From that, ulama ikram mentioned, لِيُعْرِضَ عَلَيْهِ الْإِسْلَامِ In order to present Islam to him, as we see from the latter part of the incident. فَتَكُونُ عِيَادَةُ الْمَرِيدِ الْيَهُودِ وَغَيْرُهُ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ So the visitation of a sick Yahudi or anyone else from the kuffar, mustahabba, will be something that is preferred, advocated in Islam, provided the intention over the actual goal that Allah must use you and yunqidahu min an-nar to save him from Jahannam. لَأَيْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النَّعَمِ As we mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu that if Allah uses you for the hidayat and guidance of one person, this is better for you than even red camels. So, yurshidahu ila al-haq. Guide him, inspire him, give him da'wah to the truth. And this is where, as I mentioned previously, we ran out of time, that kehna ke main aashiq e rasool bahut aasan hai. To say that I have ishq and muhabbat for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very, very easy. But the proof is how much we emulate his way in our life. This was not just a servant, a young child who was in his service, yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had fikr for the hidayat of this child. In our homes, our domestic servants, in our businesses, our staff, particularly those who are employed in menial chores, somebody is a delivery boy, or somebody is offloading a truck for you, or somebody is cleaning your garden or cleaning your toilet in your home, your domestic servant. How many of us genuinely have concern for the hidayat? How many of us are genuinely worried that eventual abode of this person mustn't be Jahannam? He must be safe from Jahannam. And what is our akhlaq and character towards them? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when it comes to this tabqa, give them to eat what you eat. Give them to wear what you wear. Why? Why was this guideline given to us? And in this instance, when they become sick, visit them. Have compassion for them. Try and assist them in their plight or their difficulty. Primarily because we are supposed to have this fikr and concern. Otherwise, maybe ulama mentioned, this may be a crude way of putting it. If we feel the only relationship I need to have when the non-Muslim that works for me is that I must pay him his wage because he works for me, that's the only relationship I need to have, then there is no difference in your treatment towards that human being as you would treat an animal. Animal does something for you, you give the animal a plate of food. The dog, that is your security dog, you give it a plate of food. If a horse you're riding, you give it. Islam does not teach that you must treat other human beings like animals or to that level. There has to be something higher than that. And what is it higher than that? The concern for the akhirat of this individual. And this is what we learn clearly from the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards this youngster. Again, we've run out of time, inshallah, we'll continue. Smart.